Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello. Welcome to the Escape Pod. Hello, Melbourne. What's going on?
It's very secretive here, isn't it?
I know. That's what radio's supposed to be. Undercover. You're on Joy 94.9. This is the Escape Pod. Today we have two extra special internal guests. We have Beck.
Hello.
Who has recently travelled by train around the USA. And Mark, who we had on 2 weeks ago, who also has recently been going around the USA, taking a big bite out of the Big Apple. Both of you have been there, right?
Yes, went to New York.
We were ships in the night, weren't we Beck?
Intentionally.
Trains in the night.
What? I didn't know about this intentional...
I think it was Mark's intention to avoid the US cities I was in.
Is it because Mark wrote off a car while he was there?
Oh my gosh, he hasn't told me this story.
Yeah, talk about plane, trains and automobiles. You've got to pick your battles. And you picked rail, which is a really unusual choice. What brought that on?
Well, do you know, we went to the US last year. And we had a very short amount of time in the US and we wanted to see as much as we could, and we weren't really sure if we were going to come back again, because to be honest, I've had no interest in travelling to the US ever. So when people said, do you plan to travel? I'd say probably Europe.
Yeah.
That's where I'd go.
That's a funny thing, isn't it, about going to the US for the first time. You kind of like, do I really want to go?
I saw it all in Law and Order, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Kagan and Lacey.
Yeah. Oh, you're showing your age, sweetheart. So we went to the US. We were going there for a conference, and the conference was in Pittsburgh. And it's not as glamorous a place as you could go to in the US. So we
thought, kind of like Happy Town, Pittsburgh.
Yeah. It's a bit like that, right?
Right.
They're famous for pickles.
Philadelphia is famous for cream cheese.
Yeah.
And you think that's a joke until you get there and it's plastered with the stuff.
Yeah. Well, they've got the little pickles, you know, that you have when you get a burger in America. Yeah. So we figured it was pretty close. New York was pretty close to Pittsburgh, so we would go there and have a quick look, just a couple of days. And we knew that the conference this year in 2013 was going to be in New York, so we kind of did a... What do you call that? Reconnaissance.
Research.
Is it something
research.
Like that? Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we looked around. And to get from Pittsburgh back to LA to fly home, I just kind of thought, well, have a look and see what a train is worth. And Amtrak in America is heavily subsidized by the US government.
Yeah.
And it's a really economical way to travel, even with a sleeper. And we caught the California Zephyr in 2012, which is the most picturesque train ride in America. It is amazing.
Where does it start?
Starts in Chicago and goes through to San Francisco, through Colorado, Utah, Nevada.
You and I, Beck, we've done the same... The same trips, but just at different times all the way through. What's going on with that? I've done the same one, but it goes up to Seattle instead, which is also quite picturesque.
Yeah.
It goes through Dakota and all these sort of things. So.
Just beautiful. You go through the Rockies and it's really beautiful. So then this year we thought we would really make a big deal of it, and we did 4 trains.
Right.
Yeah. One for just a couple of hours, so just sitting in a seat, and then the others
we're talking overnighters.
In a sleeper. Yeah, wow. All the others were overnighters.
Yeah.
At the very least, overnighters.
When I get on trains, I'm more of a sit in the bar carriage and just wait for the, you know, whoever comes along and sort of say hi. How you going? I'm from Australia, mate.
You put on the Vegemite accent.
Yeah, totally. What?
Hello.
I've met your kind overseas before.
Most people thought we were Belgium. English on the train. Most of them asked. If we were, what's that accent? Are you from England? No, we're from Australia.
And what do they do? Recoil in horror?
No, not at all. They probably don't know where that is. But you meet so many amazing people on the train that, like when you go and have your dinner, because part of having a sleeper car includes your meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and it's communal seating in there. So Yes, four of you in a little table. So if there's only two of you travelling, you always sit with two other people.
Yeah.
And that's great. Mostly those people are really personable and interesting and friendly and want to meet other people. So,
and what kind of people are you meeting? Are you meeting other Americans or are you meeting people from all around the world?
Mostly other Americans. But last year we seemed to be in the gay car. So a car has like 10 rooms or 15 rooms or something, and everywhere we looked there was another gay couple. And so we sat with a few gay international people, and this year was the same. We got...
Is it a gay thing? Are trains gay?
I don't know. We met a Scottish couple.
Is the rainbow rail?
Yeah. We met a Scottish couple, a couple of gay guys, and they do trains every time they come to America.
Oh, there's got to be some symbolism. Maybe are you a psychologist? If you are, let us know what your thoughts are on this. SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email us on onair@joy.org.au. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the symbolism of faggotry in trains.
Oh, my God. There's like
something.
A train going into a tunnel.
Oh, no.
You know, is it literal?
I was just thinking, like, it might have been the destination, San Francisco.
Yes.
Or the little red caboose.
No, I suppose our first destination was San Francisco, so that makes sense, right?
Oh, that's eye-wateringly family-oriented.
Yeah.
For our family, at least.
But we met lovely Americans on the train, too. We sat this year with a father and son, and they were just going, you know, one of the train trips we did was quite long, and they were going a few stops to the bottom of Texas, and, you know, the son was in college, so this was his summer, and he was spending a bit of time with his dad. And
oh, what a great son.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of going to Cancun and getting plastered and laid.
Well, he was a type of kid. He looked pretty normal, right? But he read economic books for fun. He loves economics. He's studying economics. He didn't look like an accountant.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, the theory I have with train travellers is that they make a conscious decision to travel on the train. Like, the default is always get on a plane, right,
yes.
Particularly in the US. You know, that creates, like, if they've actually gone that extra step to think about getting on a train, they're a thinker. And therefore, they're kind of more inclined to want to talk to you and be interesting instead of just being, you know, closed up in their own little corner of the plane.
Or the quickest, most efficient way to get somewhere. It's not the most efficient way to get somewhere, is it?
No, absolutely not.
Although it's cost effective, you were saying, it's subsidised by the...
So it's so cost effective. So we did four trains around America this year. I did, like, the earlier you book, the cheaper it is. So as the train starts to fill up, the seats get more expensive. It's as simple as that. So if you book well in advance, you can get it really cheap. You pay per seat and then you pay a room charge. So whether there's one or two of you in the room, it doesn't matter. You pay per person as individual seat holders and then you get your room. And we were a bit late in booking. We got delayed. So it ended up costing about $1,400, I think. But that was to go from New York City to DC, from DC to Chicago, Chicago down to Austin, Austin across to LA.
Jeez, that's right across the country.
Right across
the
country.
From the north,
all the meals
to the southwest.
Yeah, all the meals included. And when you factor in nights of accommodation.
How many kilometres was that, do you know?
I don't know.
Miles? Miles?
No idea. No.
Is there a frequent mile?
Yes, and it's only available to Americans, which really annoys me. Can you tell straight away I'm annoyed about that?
Because you're all on the loyalty program.
Recoiling in horror.
Yeah. I like loyalty programs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Surely there'd be an embossed card with a terrible picture on
it's
one
Amtrak
side of it, like
rewards.
My Costco membership.
Yeah. Well, I'm just
saving that kind of money.
I'm just having a conversation with myself about my airline memberships and what I can do to maintain levels for the rest of the year, and I've had to just say I can't. One of them has to be left to the side, and I'll keep pursuing the other one.
Oh,
I
so
can't
you're going
maintain
through
your multiple. Programs, are you?
Yes.
On different airlines?
Yes.
Wow, that's dedication.
Well, that was just a lot of travel for work. Yeah. So now, keeping when I'm
them,
paying...
keeping them on their toes, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So you made a conscientious decision, as Mark very cleverly called you a thinking person.
Yes.
In his broad sweeping statement about why people use trains.
Well, there's that reason. And you know what the other reason I found is? Fear.
Right.
Of people afraid of flying.
Ah.
We met a lovely young couple, husband and wife, probably mid-20s. They sat with us at lunch and they were from Louisville. And
Louisville,
or St. Louis, or somewhere around there in the south, and they do not fly. He is terrified of flying. He said, unless you can get like a big train to Australia, because I'd love to come, but I can't.
Right.
So he can, but he chooses not to through his fears.
Yeah, he's terrified. Right. He won't get on a plane.
I know of a person who was terrified of flying, and she took some therapy. That'd probably be a good idea for a show. And she took some therapy. It took her quite a while, but now she's a very happy air traveller.
Mm.
So she could assuage those fears through therapy, and she's overcome that problem. I wonder if that's a path open to your friend you met in the States, or was he just someone who rejected that outright and wasn't open to...
No, I didn't get to know him well enough to work that out, but he had just watched the night before, ironically, Crocodile Dundee in his little sleeper car. So I think he thought he knew something about Australia.
Or crocodiles on planes.
And we were like...
You get snakes on a plane, right?
Not really. That's Crocodile Dundee's not really... That's not us.
That's not a movie.
Yeah, did he do that?
No.
No?
He hadn't memorised the lines.
That's not a knife.
Yeah,
they're talking about my baby daughter.
Oh, we did that a bit. Yeah.
No, that was Meryl Streep.
Yes.
Sorry.
Dingo's got my baby.
Baby.
Yeah, we said that a lot, but no one had seen that movie either.
Yeah, fair enough. So you went on this huge trip, and did you travel on your own or were you with a group?
Just me and one other person.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how is that travelling in such close confines for such a long period of time in a transcontinental tin can?
Yeah. I like it. There's plenty of space to move. Like, our actual sleeping quarters are very, very compact.
Yeah.
So if you can think about two armchairs facing each other, just about knocking knees. And then at night, those two armchairs turn into one bed and one bed folds down from the ceiling.
I remember it well.
Yeah, I love it. It's just really comfortable. Kind
of, yeah, it's very 70s though, right?
Yeah.
Like, you've got all the old school, like, plugs that you can put in really old headphones into and stuff like that and change the channel of the air system, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all very weird. I had my laptop. So
all right, hold that thought. We're going to find out more about technology on rails. That's a really good point. You're enjoying 94.9. This is the Escape Pod.
What sand shoes.
Pools and stuff and people, I don't know.
Yeah.
What Julie McCoy, the purser.
Yes. The love boat. There was love as well.
There was. Everything was weekly.
You know, that ship's just been sold for scrap metal in Turkey. Yeah, for about
Turkey.
$4 million. That's the actual ship that was used for the TV show.
What a disgraceful outgoing.
Oh, yeah. I had... Like another scrap 20 or 30 metal. Years. It's going to cost too much to keep it afloat, I think.
Just melt it down.
Yeah.
Aw. Before we went to that toe-tapper number, we heard from Mark about technology on the rails. And you were bringing up something really interesting that American Railway has that I don't think we have here as yet.
Well, I mean, the Amtrak are not very well appointed. Like, they do have power, which is kind of handy to have.
Power?
Well, you don't
lights, windows, flooring.
As in a PowerPoint.
Point. Yeah, right. So the biggest problem I find with flying is particularly if you're doing it economy, you have very little power available to you. You've only got a USB port and you can't really plug in your laptop. And I like to actually do work on long trips, and without a laptop, I really can't. That's the kind of work I do, I guess. But, they have power with an outlet and everything that you can plug into. But my biggest saving grace there was having a 4G SIM card in my iPhone that I could then... not my iPhone, my iPad, I don't know. I can't remember how I set up. But anyway, having internet connections between towns even on their biggest sort of cellular network there, the Telstra-like one, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that AT&T?
Yes.
Right.
I wasn't sure if I should mention the name or
not. No,
well, no one's going to convert to a plan from Melbourne.
No, true.
Yeah, I'm going to get a useless plan that I have to pay $400 an hour to talk to someone.
I'm in techno gaze mode where it's like, we've got to be, I don't know. Anyway.
No, but it's not easy to get SIM cards in the States for travellers, right? Because so many phones have SIM cards built in. It's not, they don't have the same kind of transportability we do. So when you go and try and get a card, they want to sign you up to a plan, right? And that's the challenge, is getting the, did you find that hard or...
The one that I signed up to was like a $50 amount, and it gave me 3 gig of data, which was plenty for my 3 weeks of time there, I thought.
Yeah. Well, was that just at an airport or a service? Because when I went, it was really hard. I struggled
to find
it.
You can't get them in airports because it's that thing of finding a vending machine. It's always the dodgy secondary suppliers that have their SIM cards in the vending machines, not the actual real, you know, T-Mobile, AT&T.
You need a stale Twinkie instead.
Yeah. Well, that might be more pleasurable, I guess.
Stale Twinkie. Not
Oh, my goodness.
Move on.
Well,
I don't know. I don't like where are you taking me?
Show us on the dolly where it's at.
Oh my god. AT&T.
I actually had to go into a store with AT&T and okay. And they do just give you a SIM card. Like, and literally they just hand you a SIM card over the counter and you don't have to sign any paperwork or anything like that.
Oh wow.
And you then sign up over, like, you have to put it into your phone, into your device, but then it's just all online. So you give your credit card details. The biggest problem I find with all of those plans, the same with in-flight internet, and I got bitten by this in the last week or so, was they're all recurring payments. So I was still signed up to the AT&T plan after I'd left. It was very hard for me to get out of that plan without actually being connected via the device that I signed up with in the first place. So I had to make calls and get on, you know, do it in their time zone or whatever and talk in an American accent just so they could understand me, just to try and figure out, you know, how to stop them billing my credit card after the fact, which is, you know, I mean, it's legally, I was bound to that. That was the terms of the service that I chose, right? And I think that's what they play on. A lot of travellers would buy these kind of plans and end up, you know, having to try and get them stopped.
But on the rail, you were saying you had Wi-Fi.
Well, no. On certain train trips, there is Wi-Fi. You know, with Amtrak. Mm-hmm. But I think the way that they connected up by the way that it was cutting in and out, I think it's over their cellular networks anyway. So you're no better off with Wi-Fi on a train than what you are with a cellular plan off an actual telco.
Right.
Okay. Because it was cutting out at roughly the same time as my AT&T plan was anyway, so it was kind of pointless. You know, I thought, if it was satellite, which that would be better, but obviously they don't use satellite on the trains.
And they don't have it on the long-haul trains either.
No.
So we had the opposite experience with our phones. I had done a lot of research. I am a researcher.
Mm.
I know everything before I buy anything.
Which makes for a great traveller.
Yes.
Are you also someone who buys insurance?
Yes. Oh, my God. Can you travel without it?
You're a perfect traveller. You buy insurance and you research. The only two things you need. Oh, and money.
Yeah.
Oh, and a vehicle of some description.
Yeah. Well, we don't drive in America. Not doing that. No way. But
a train's a vehicle.
Train is a vehicle. We had decided to go with AT&T as well just because of that kind of broad coverage. And we knew that we were going to be on trains and going through small towns and we'd use the T-Mobile option the year before. But AT&T have just introduced the ability to get a SIM. So prior to, I think, maybe 3 months ago.
Yeah, it's different for their phones versus what they offer on the tablet devices, I think, as well.
Yeah.
So if you're just getting it for your phone, which I like to sort of, you know, spread my risk. Is that the right word? So I get an AT&T
Is it Mark?
Card. Sorry.
What? You have to answer that question.
Are you leading me down a path that I don't want to go down again?
Yes.
Like, yeah, okay.
My word.
He seems to live down that path.
Yeah.
So you did one telco for your tablet and one telco for your phone.
Yep.
So we only got we got SIMs for the phone and we got the same for both phones and we went with AT&T and it was new. And I think ours is about $50 or $60, but it was unlimited calls and things
for a month or something.
For a month. And we were there for 3 weeks, so we figured that was
awesome.
Okay. And 2 gig. And we had 4G while we were there.
Gee, that's a lot.
So, but then on the train, yes, some of the trains had Wi-Fi available, which is great because my tablet, I have just a Wi-Fi only tablet. So that was good when we went from New York City to Washington.
Mm.
But then I had planned to use my phone as a wireless hotspot to connect my tablet to for all other times. But AT&T don't allow you to do that when you're on a prepaid SIM with them, but I didn't have the reoccurring costs that you had.
Yep.
So I wasn't signed up in that way. I went into a store, they put the SIM in our phone, we paid for it there and then, and that's it.
Okay, and then you could have recharged if you wanted
to. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, that's great progress because technology is such an important way of doing things these days, whether it's how you're booking your flights, accommodation, train, I'm sure you booked all online? Or?
Yeah, did it all here in Australia and then it's all e-tickets.
Mm. Yeah, perfect. So you do need a bit of technology to help you go through, tablet and a phone.
Well,
you don't need it, but it makes life very, very easy. And then you can SMS home.
Yeah, or just stay connected on social media.
Mm, Facebook.
The thing that we did in 2012 that was a problem was we kept forgetting to take our adapter on the train. So our international adapter on the train. So we had our charger.
Packed away or something.
Yeah, yeah. It was in the suitcase. And yeah, we didn't have our international adapters. But this year I had a charger for our Apple devices that was actually an American charger.
Mm.
So I didn't have to have...
Yeah, you can get the international pack or whatever that provides all the different plugs which just come off and on of your existing adapters, which is kind of handy, I think. It's
so we didn't have to worry this time.
A friend of mine did something very clever. It's not so good when going to the States because of the different the voltage conversion thing. But when she goes to Europe, she takes her own power board that she plugs all her own things into and just one adapter.
Yes.
I thought that was the most clever thing in the world.
I won a competition with that tip.
Oh, did you really?
Yes, I did.
Oh, maybe she listened to your tip.
A competition where I wrote in, yes.
Where was this? Where did you write into?
Oh, it was an online competition with Lonely Planet Books, you know.
Fantastic. I love that
tip. Top travel tip. I say take a power board.
Yeah, it seems a bit dicky when you get it out, though, right? In the middle of, I don't know, a hotel or something.
Here's
my power board.
Getting everything, although these days everything's converging into one device.
Well, I have done it too, right? I've done the whole power board thing, but I say that with aspersions, but it's absolutely a legitimate way to try.
It's a great way to do things, and that's number one tip of the day. And Beck won an award.
Yes,
for this.
Well,
this is an award-winning idea.
And it's not for me just about devices.
Gold, Beck.
Thank you. It's not just about devices. No. I have electric toothbrushes.
Ah.
You know, some girls have things like hair dryers and hair straighteners.
Yep.
I don't.
Shoulder massages?
No.
Is that a path that he's going down?
No, he lives there.
We need to travel.
And also your camera.
Yeah.
You know, charging your camera.
Camera's a phone these days.
No, we got a good camera this year.
Uh-huh. Yeah, which
last
is nice.
Last year we used a phone.
Some things you can't do with a phone. And when you're travelling and you've got a nice...
We've got a decent camera, and it's it does have a zoom on it, but a small, like it's still a compact one.
Right.
But it creates a Wi-Fi spot between our camera and our phone. So what we were able to do was take all these great shots using a really good quality camera, send those over to our phone and upload them.
That's good. Yeah.
That's a little bit of awesomeness right there.
It was so good.
We are going to listen to some beautiful words from our lovely sponsors, and then we're going to find out where's Joe. Does anyone know where Joe is?
No idea.
You might have noticed that she's not been talking the entire show because she's not here, and we're going to find out very soon where is Joe. You're on Joy 94.9. This is Mark. You're in Escape Pod. Today we've got Beck and Mark, who have been going around the world. And guess who we're talking to? Mark, who do you think we're talking to?
I think it might be Joe. Is Joe
where
there?
Where is Joe? I don't even know.
Where is Joe?
She? Joe?
Like where's
Joe?
Where's Joe? Joe?
Yeah, where's Joe? Joe, where's Joe?
Joe's in Bris Vegas.
How's it going in Brizzy?
Well, I have to say, I think I need some therapy.
What kind of therapy?
Mm.
Well, I've been spending the last 5 hours making 24 Martha Stewart-inspired tissue paper flowers for a 5-year-old's Tinkerbell-themed birthday party.
But that's what you normally do with your afternoons, isn't it?
No.
Yes, but now she's doing it in humidity. So,
yeah, are you
quite
chafing?
True. And tissue paper and humidity. Can we all just think about what that means?
Oh,
yuck.
Yeah.
And floristry wire. Can we all think about what we could do with floristry wire for a moment?
You don't want to take Mark down that path. He's been down there all afternoon.
But I'm very happy to be up here. It's lovely to have the opportunity to travel and to travel for family. I know a lot of us do that, and it's lovely.
Mm. So what are you up to there? What drew you to the sunny north?
Well, I was summoned by my 5-year-old niece.
For this flower offering.
Yeah, well, to be the entertainment director for her Tinkerbell party tomorrow, which goes for 2 hours. And we'll be playing 5 different games, all of which is attached to a running sheet.
Very organised of you, Jo.
Oh, absolutely. There are 13 little girls. There are 3 little boys. It should all run smooth as silk.
And some pretty bewildered adults by the sounds of her organising skills. She's got this locked down.
Oh, well, you see, the really good thing is it's a 10:30 to a 12:30 party. So my golden rule of that is by 11:15 I get to have a glass of champagne.
Yes. Fair enough.
Plus you get to send the kids home when they're at their most hyperactive.
Oh, look, most definitely. There's something to be said for making all of the food from scratch, which we have been doing. So there is nothing that's come into this party that is processed in any way. So we're very assured with the quantities of sugar.
Excellent. Now, what else are you going to be doing while you're in the lovely north or this crazy brown land?
Well, apart from working via technology, which is always such a good thing, we all love that.
Oh, you have been listening to our show today.
I have been. In between music that you definitely know the lyrics to, because when you're making 24 flowers, there's a lot of opportunity to cuss and to swear. But at least if you're listening to music you know the lyrics to, it kind of soothes you.
You've got other words to say instead of the naughty words.
That's right. But I have had a chance to get out and I went to a bakery that I think has been going now for about 5 years here called Brew Bakers, which I have to say has the best French sourdough outside of Poulain's in Paris. It's stunning.
Wow, that's a big endorsement. And what makes it so fancy?
Well, it has that delicious tang that you get, that extra bit of character, of depth, I guess, from a really good sourdough. So I was very impressed with that. And I had to go back this morning to try their pain au chocolat. And while that doesn't perhaps have a tang, it was delicious and sweet.
That has a ringing sweetness to it, doesn't it?
It does indeed. A little bit of a fudgy quality, quite delightful. That was the preemptor of the day. Then I was off to do a couple of fitness classes because my sister is a fitness instructor.
Oh, okay, so you've been bending and stretching and reaching for the stars?
I've been RPMing, which is, you know, like a spin and inside cycle class where I don't quite understand why you are inside in the dark visualising where you're riding to. But look, I know tens of thousands of people do it every day, so, you know.
it's not the answer to me.
No, it's an excuse to wear lycra inside, though.
I don't need an excuse to wear lycra inside.
He's wearing it now, Joe.
Head to toe and leg warmers.
Yeah, you see, I'm away for a week and the wardrobe
I know.
Falls completely.
The whole show's gone to seed.
But it's gorgeous and sunny up here, so you can definitely understand why a number of southerners decamp and head north, because, you know, they're going to have, I think, 28 degrees up here on Wednesday and Thursday. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, Brisbane, leave alone going further north, Mackay or Cairns or anything exotic. And you get to see people walking around in T-shirts and you do a double take. You think, oh, my God, it must be too cold. But no, they're Queenslanders and they're very into it. And in fact, today I think most of them are at the beach.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good day for the beach. I was thinking going to the beach here to look at it from the car.
With the heater on.
Yeah, as the silver waves come crashing in on the syringes.
I think we're totes jelly.
Yeah, we're totes jelly.
And I can report that Qantas don't seem to be cracking down so heavily on cabin luggage as we'd been led to believe the other week. I was pleasantly surprised with the cabin crew and they were really quite charming to everybody on the flight from Melbourne to Brisbane. So Qantas, it's nice to give them a bouquet because I know we send them a few brickbats occasionally.
Oh, absolutely. They're the champions at receiving brickbats. So what was so good about the staff? What was the delightful frisson of surprise?
Well, actually, that they... I checked in using my mobile phone. Mm-hmm. So I was pleased to see that technology was working. There were no hiccups. It was seamless. And then when I presented my mobile phone screen to the cabin crew as I was getting on the plane, they looked at it. They said, "Hello, Ms. Pryor. Welcome aboard."
Okay, it was that easy. Well, I'm going to have to flex that out. Did you do that in the States? Did you use...
I still don't trust it.
No.
Because you're going to varied and, you know, wide and varied carriers, right? So you don't really know what level of technology they've got to. I mean, when you're at home, it's not so bad because it's A, it's domestic, and B, you kind of know
it's
where Qantas are at. Yeah. and they're, you know, some are really good and some are really bad, so...
We got pulled over because... out of the three of us that were on the plane together, I had my full name on my boarding pass and on my passport. The other two had their first initial on their boarding pass and they had to prove who they were. They had to find their itinerary to show that they weren't somebody else that that letter of the alphabet stood for their name and it wasn't just a coincidence.
With matching passport number, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, your passport number's not on your boarding pass.
There was this one time when I went to Adelaide from Melbourne and I actually managed to do it without any identification whatsoever. They let me onto the plane just by me saying, hey, I'm Mark Powney. Here's my laptop and here's who I log on as on my laptop, which, you know, anyone could have done that, right?
Well, that's good enough to get into Adelaide. Mark, you're not a fruit fly.
I mean, I didn't have to show any ID. I just showed my screen of my telephone.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which in a way is kind of horrifying to think that all you need to do is have... Because that could have been a PDF.
I could have dummied up any sort of screen, you know, being the tech nerd that I am. I could have been Joe Pryor.
You'd soon find out when two people were fighting over one seat and then you'd look for further proof.
And Marina Pryor is there trying to shake Joe out of this.
And the other good news that I got to try on this flight was... Well, waiting for the flight was the new Google Music service.
Oh.
Which, again, I know we like to throw brickbats at Google for
their
energy consumption, but we do love some of their nifty apps. So, yes, the new Google Music app, I was able to sit in the lounge and listen to, I think there's 20, you can put up 20,000 of your own songs into there, and I think you've got access to millions of recordings.
Yeah, it's like their online radio service, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, but you can also choose individual tracks, individual artists, individual albums, and add them, I guess, to a cloud service.
Yep.
And so it's free for the first month.
So it's like Pandora with a bad logo.
Yeah.
I quite like the Google logo.
Yeah,
oh.
I like the
Google
logo.
It's not the work experience kid did it.
Well, the Pandora logo actually is a bit fancy. It's not always so easy to see on your iPhone, whereas the Google one's quite crisp.
Yes, it is striking. We'll give them mad props for that. And their brilliant $400 billion company. Good on them for that. Well, that's fantastic that you've had these good experiences and then Google Music worked for a traveller. That's a good idea.
Oh, look, it's fantastic because it means you can add, I think, about up to 5 or 10 devices. I've been really impressed and it's very easy to do. I mean, even I was able to get it up and running in 5 minutes, you know, sitting there waiting for the plane.
That's excellent. I think Jim from Alphington's going to embrace that idea. What he does when he travels, he takes his old iPhone with him, so he has two phones and pops in a SIM card with that. He put $100 credit on it, so he's now got a permanent US number, and he takes his powerboard. Ah, Jim, that's a prize-winning, rolled gold idea from Beck Savick, and I'm glad that you've embraced it, or you might have pioneered it yourself. Beck, did you steal that from Jim from Alphington?
A lot of people have since told me that they do that. And to be honest, when I entered that competition, I made it clear not to the competition people, but to everyone else, that it was not my idea, that I had been told it by somebody else. I can't remember who that is. I'm sure lots of people are coming forward for their 10%, but it wasn't my original idea.
Ideas have to come from somewhere though, right?
They do.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Joe. Enjoy your stay in Brisbane, and we look forward to having you back in the Escape Pod next week. You're enjoying.
Thank you, guys.
You're enjoying 94.9. This is the Escape Pod. Thank you for listening to the Escape Pod. We've got Beck and Mark. And now we're going to talk about what makes travelling in America or living or spending time in America so similar to Australia, but so different and why you should go. Beck, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the dollar's really good.
Well, it has been
and
good.
And it's like dropping. Yeah. So you might have missed the boat to
get in quick.
Get the parody kind of stuff happening.
Yeah.
But, look, you know what it is about it is that if you've watched any kind of TV at all in your life, you will have seen so much of America that there is a familiarity that makes you feel comfortable once you get there. So not just like, are they the steps they use in Law and Order, or are they the steps that the girls from Gossip Girl sit on, but just like comfortable. Because you feel like
it's a cultural thing. You kind of understand what they're saying and what they're kind of their mindset, I guess, from it all. And you know, I think part of the problem with what us Aussies kind of tend to do is look with that with a bit of disdain towards that. And so we kind of, you know, we want to be different, but at the same time, we've still got it because we've seen so much TV.
Yeah,
and you know, you just go over there and, like you say, you just feel comfortable. Like, it's you know, you go to a coffee shop and you know what to expect. You know to expect filtered coffee, right?
Yes, yes.
Which is a bit crap.
I know, it's horrible.
Unless you go to that big
chain.
So,
when I came back from America, one of my wonderful office admin people here at Joy said to me, "It's not a the holiday's not over until you've done your top three best and top three worst parts of the holiday."
Right.
And
it's arduous. You have to do all that work when you get back.
She just wanted to know. She lives vicariously. She so one of my top worst was tipping. That is so different to Australia. And we just adopted this attitude of just pay it. Like, to me, I just treated it like a tax and I just paid and I did 20% because it was easier to calculate.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But if they were a bit surly, then I did the 18. I got the phone out and I calculated 18.
Well, my trick that I was taught when I first went to the States is look at whatever price it is and automatically add the 20% on it so you don't feel... So if you're looking at a $10 item...
Yeah.
Call it $12 in your head.
Yeah.
And just do it. And because that's how Americans look at it. They see tipping. I worked in Dubai with a boss who could not stop tipping.
Yeah.
He was an American. It was the first time he'd really spent time out of the States.
Yeah.
And even in regular coffee shops and so forth, he was just handing people money. And they were looking at him with this utter bewilderment, trying to work out, why are you giving me this extra money?
Yeah.
Why?
When the father and son I mentioned earlier that we met on the train, we were talking about tipping with them, because not just restaurant servers, right? We then, a couple of years ago, we went to Hawaii. One of our friends said, "Have you been tipping your house cleaner? You know, like your room cleaner?" And we're like, "What? You tip them? Like, I know that you tip the person that carries your bags, but I didn't realize you leave money out for these
$2
people.
$2 a day, per person.
Yeah. And so that's what we were doing, last trip. And so learning the whole time, and we were talking to them about it. And he was saying that when they went, because it's so ingrained for them, because they've grown up in that culture of tipping, they went to Japan. Well, China, sorry. They'd gone to China, him and his family, and they were tipping the cab driver. Mm. And the cab driver could not understand why they were giving extra money, and they were trying to explain.
There may well have been laws that he was breaking by taking that money, perhaps.
So when they pull up at their hotel, the concierge, they're saying to the concierge, "Look, we're trying to tip him. You know, it's just extra money for him," and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so he goes and speaks Mandarin or whatever to the cab driver, and the cab, okay, and so lets them out and all this sort of stuff.
Right.
And the American said to the concierge, "What did you say to him?" And he said, "I just told him that Americans have so much money, they just love to give it away." There was just, because he could not comprehend tipping.
Oh, what a beautiful thing to say.
Yeah.
That was lovely. That was a lovely way to say it.
Yeah. So I found that like a really strange thing.
Yeah, a lot of things are so similar though, aren't they? Even, especially when you come from Melbourne, which is a grid layout city, orientating yourself in other American...
Manhattan was brilliant, wasn't it? It's like you just walk, and streets named by numbers. It's that's how everywhere should be done. But from, I always kind of thought that was a bit naff. Like, I like the culture, the fact that we've got names of, you know, that kind of flow from one end of the city to the other, and we've got King William and all that. But it's like, for someone who's new to the location, to just know where to go.
To know which side it is because it's got an E in front of it.
Yeah.
To know how many blocks you have to walk because you can just minus the numbers.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm.
And so Chicago is a grid city too. Yeah.
Yeah. Chicago. That was one of my favourite towns. I love Chicago. And I love their crazy accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you also went to Austin, Beck, which is one of my favourite cities.
Just for 24 hours.
It's enough. Well, no, it's never enough in Austin. It is an awesome... What was your first impression?
I was really excited to go to Austin. My first impression was really negative.
Oh.
So we had been there. We caught the train there from Chicago. We were catching the train from Chicago to LA, and we were doing it via Texas. So it was a 65-hour train trip. And the train trip the year before was 52 hours and we had a great time, but we decided to break this up with 24 hours in Austin just to have a bit of time off the train. We've got a friend who lives in Austin, so we ended up so we got off the train like 7 o'clock at night and we were getting back on the next day, 7 o'clock. So we spent that next day with her and her family and it was lovely. And just like, we went to their favorite pizza shop and had pizza by the slice and went to this great candy store and just spent the day with them having a fun kind of family day. But when we first arrived, I wanted to see the bats. Have you seen the bats?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Just so I wanted to see the bats. Mm. We checked into our hotel. We walk in the heat at 7 o'clock at night and we get to the bridge and we're waiting and waiting and waiting. And this deaf man came up and tapped me and poked something at me and I turned around and grabbed it and it was a badge and it said, please buy this badge. This is the way I support myself. And I was like, whoa. Like, and he's going around doing it to all the people standing on the bridge. And so I turned around and gave it back to him and said, thank you. No, I actually signed it because I can sign. And he got really angry and aggressive at me and started swearing and calling me names.
Wow.
And
then sign?
Yeah. And voicing it. Yeah, he called me the B word quite aggressively and loud. And then he walked off down the line and tried to sell some more of these badges to people. And then he came back and called me names again. So we actually, it was really horrible.
Hang on. One name calling at a time. It's one badge.
So when he came back, we actually left. We left before the bats even came out. So it was a really negative, but you know what? There are nasty people everywhere, hearing or not, and in Austin or not. So it just was something that happened.
Yeah, that's a shame that happened.
We didn't get to see the bats.
Yeah, such a lovely experience.
Yeah.
Unless they poop on you.
Right.
It's kind of like being in the Botanic Gardens of Melbourne. You see those beautiful, majestic fruit bats fluttering against the inky purple sky, and then you hear one defecate not far from you. And you think, oh, I've had enough of this experience. Because you know they're on a vegetarian diet.
Right. Oh, gosh.
It's not like they've been eating cheese. It's coming out at once.
Oh,
so
my God.
You just run to the nearest shaded area.
Well,
that's
didn't,
enough experience.
You know, I didn't get to see the bats, but Austin was beautiful and funky and, you know, quirky and
isn't it?
Lovely. So I would back there, but maybe in winter.
Mm. It's the first place I saw someone with a tattooed eyeball.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. Is that even possible?
Yeah.
I just got an image of, what's that? There's a sci-fi show, Falling Skies, and the bug goes into the eye. It's kind of, that whole kind of, do that?
It was blue. I didn't ask. I said, oh, are you all right? And he said, oh, I'm eyeball tattooed. I was like, oh.
Okay.
Must make your dad proud. Mm. Is that what you're doing it for? It was awful. It just looked like it had one of those burst blood vessels
goodness.
The eye that had gone blue.
Right, yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so what a look.
Yeah.
Horse for courses. So Austin and then to...
That took us on to LA. We left New York and we went to DC for 24 hours.
Great town. Did you go to the Smithsonian?
No. So we took it really easy. I really wanted to go, but we just had to reevaluate how physical we were. And so we ended up doing like a boat tour and we went to a cupcake store that I had been watching on the telly.
So what was so good about this
like,
cupcake store?
Oh my God. Amazing.
Okay.
Amazing in Georgetown.
Buffery.
Yeah. I'm like salivating thinking about it. Like we've got photos of the wrappers. We've got photos of the food as well, but they were amazing.
Okay, so was it the whole environment? Was it the quality of the food, the variety?
They were delicious. They were so delicious and moist and sweet. And, you know, because everyone told us to go to this bakery in New York, and so we did, and we were like, I think they were yesterday's, you know?
The one downtown.
Everyone's bragging about it. Go there.
Like, Magnolia.
Yes, that's the one. And it wasn't nice. And then when we went to DC, they were amazing.
Made up for it.
Yeah, but it was a different
different, altogether. Yeah.
Oh, how fun.
In Georgetown. So that was great.
Because DC is a pretty impressive town, the architecture and how it's beautiful.
We would love to go back there.
And so what was your experience on this boat trip? That sounds fascinating.
It was just a, you know, like a monument tour. You know, you hop on in, we caught a cab to Alexandria and then got the boat back up to Georgetown. So we just saw like the monuments from the water.
Mm, beautiful.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.